Inside Hogwarts, a Harry Potter podcast made by kids for kids.
I'm Daisy.
And I'm Vaughn.
And today we're talking about Chapter 10 of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, Luna Lovegood. So, yes, it's the first episode officially of summer, and I'm pretty excited for summer. Are you excited for summer, Vaughn?
Not really.
Yeah. I mean, tomorrow morning we leave at 4:45 for Utah. We have to be by the buses at 4:45 in the morning. So I think that means waking up at 4 or 3:30, depending on how much time you think you need to get ready, which I'm not excited for at all. I don't want to wake up at 3:30 in the morning on my birthday, but it's fine. We're doing dinner tonight for me, and I'm very excited because there are, like, some Union Jacks around the house, which is obviously very nice. And then, yeah, what else are we doing this summer, Vaughn?
Vacations.
What are you most excited for?
I honestly don't know.
You don't know that you're not excited for anything?
I don't know. I would rather just stay in school with my friends.
You think so? Yeah, me too, maybe. But yeah, so that's that. Are you going to do any, like, summer? Are you going to read any books this summer? Or you stopped reading, didn't you?
My reading amount has drastically lowered.
Yeah, me too. But, like, it's gone even lower for you. Because you used to go to bed so early and read for, like, solid hours.
Yeah,
but it's just not the same, is it, Vaughn?
Who cares about reading? It's overrated. All right.
No. You say on a Harry Potter podcast, reading is overrated.
That's why I got the audiobooks. JK, JK, LOL.
I'm not quite sure what just happened, honestly. But yeah,
audiobooks are an alternative. That's why we're sponsored today by Audible. No, we're not.
not by Audible. I wish we were, though. Solid transition, though. But yeah, and then, so I have 4 summer reading books. I'm going to read Anna Karenina, which I'm like 200 pages through. Turtles All the Way Down by John Green, My Policeman, and what's the other? Me Before You. So I'm very excited to read those books. Vaughn, you need to listen to John Hanks.
I do not. I don't.
John Hanks, no. John Green and Hank Green's podcast.
I'm good.
It is very good. It's what's been getting me through this week.
I don't think I want to watch it.
Listen to it.
I don't think I want to listen to it.
Why not?
Because
it's crabulous. Anyone who listens to it is going to get it. But yeah, it's very good. I recommend it to everyone. John Green and Hank Green.
I'm good.
Yeah, they're pretty great. Okay, well, I guess we'll just jump into it then. First sentence, Harry had a troubled night's sleep, which I just think is a
troubled night's sleep.
Think it's a great way to start a chapter because I feel like he always has troubled night's sleep.
It's a really educated way to say he didn't sleep well.
Yeah, but Harry never sleeps well.
He doesn't. It's like every chapter after he goes to sleep, he woke up with the dreams or his scars hurting.
I know.
Or he had a troubled night's sleep.
I wanna go into the Harry Potter books and, like, count and, like, figure out what percent of all chapters in all of the books start with him waking up having had a bad dream or with his scar hurting. His parents were in his dream but never spoke. I wanna, like, go into this dream and, like, figure out what it all means, okay? So his parents were in his dreams but never spoke. Mrs. Weasley cried over Creature's dead body while Ron and Hermione watched wearing crowns, and Harry found himself walking down a hallway to a locked door.
Ron and Hermione, they're prefects.
So they're wearing crowns because they, like, won.
They're better than Harry right now. Mrs. Weasley, why is she crying over Creature?
Because Creature's adorable.
Okay, so she was crying over her children. Does she consider Creature as her child?
You know what? Maybe. She considers Creature like
his parents were family. were in his dreams but never spoke. He had never heard his parents talk before.
So there's that. So how does he know what his parents look like? Like, I know that he's seen pictures,
but he saw them in the Narrative Ear said.
That's true. I didn't think about that. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. His scar was prickling when Ron woke him up. Everyone was hurrying around trying to get their trunks down the stairs. Oh, wait, his scar. There you go.
It's prickling.
There we go. Mrs. Weasley and Mrs. Black were both screaming. And I didn't put this down, but so apparently Fred and George were just like flying their suitcase with their trunks down the stairs, and one of their trunks hit Jenny, and she fell down 2 flights of stairs.
And she's okay.
She's fine.
Somehow.
Somehow she did not get like blunt force injuries or whatever, but that would, you know, that would hurt a lot. Hermione came into Harry's room with Hedwig, who had returned from, because I think Hermione borrowed Hedwig to write to her parents about
Mother,
being a prefect.
I beat Harry Potter. I'm a prefect. Harry Potter.
It kind of reminds you of when Cedric's dad is like all proud of Cedric because he beat Harry.
You beat that awesome kid, Harry Potter. He's not as good as you anymore. You're automatically better than him.
Exactly. She told Harry that Mad-Eye was complaining that they had to wait for Sturgis Podmore, because I guess he's a member of the Order and is going to, like, help escort them.
Sturgis Podmore, that's, like, not a name that I like.
No, it's not. So then Hermione's kind of mean to Harry, and she's like, well, we have to wait for Sturgis because he's going to be a guard to take us to King's Cross Station. And Harry's like, we don't need a guard. And she's like, yeah, but you need a guard. I'm like, Hermione, geez, stop being so mean. He's already upset with you because you're a prefect.
Well, wait, what do you mean? Wait, so
well, I didn't write it
that Harry needed a guard?
Yeah, Hermione's like, well, I don't need a guard, you need a guard.
It's true.
It's true, but it's just...
Like, how does it mean?
It just seems, just the way that it's phrased in the book, I would have to show you the part, but the way that it's phrased is just kind of like, okay, Hermione, like, he's already upset with you guys enough. Chill out a little bit. Where are we? Harry had to be accompanied to King's Cross with a guard. Mrs. Weasley yelled for them to go downstairs, and Harry took Hedwig and dragged his trunk down. Harry left the house with Mrs. Weasley along with Sirius in dog form. They met Tonks at a corner, and she looked like an old woman with curly gray hair. Okay, so my question here is, so Sirius is able to successfully escort Harry to King's Cross as a dog. How come he can't leave the house whenever he wants as a dog? Because they don't ever want him to, but for some reason it works here, so why hasn't he just done it? Why doesn't he just do it all the time? Because
then just any wizard on there's a higher chance of a wizard on the street being like, oh, it's a black dog. It must be Sirius Black.
What if he's just casually walking down the street, right?
With such a strut that it cannot be a mutt. It's probably an animagus. And the only animagus is the black dog. That we want to be an animagus right now is Sirius Black himself.
What is
otherwise
strut?
Known
what
as is... singing sensation.
Oh, we're not.
That's
I go.
Literally okay, I'm not going to say the name, but it's in my notes. So you guys got to listen for that.
Okay. I was going to say, what if he's just strutting down the street and someone like our dad and Sophie come along, right? And
they're it's like, it's a dog. It's a stray.
It's a stray.
Your pet.
And then it'll be our fifth dog. Yeah, literally. I'm not even, like, that would
be so funny.
That would be someone walking down the street.
And just suddenly, Sirius Black is like, I'm sorry, I'm not a dog.
I'm sorry. I hate to break it to you guys, but, like, I'm a man. Mrs. Weasley complained that Arthur should have gotten the ministry cars, but that he couldn't because Fudge wouldn't let him borrow anything these days.
That's not very nice.
No, it's not. It's not very considerate of him,
it's not.
Is it? But he kind of wants Harry to be dead. So, you know, it's easier if Voldemort can just finish the job. Because then Fudge doesn't have to get his hands dirty. 20 minutes later, they arrived at King's Cross Station, which they have to walk the entire way. That would take forever.
Wait.
Everything in London is probably so far apart.
They had to walk there?
Yeah. I know. That would take forever.
Do you think they have flu networks connecting to King's Cross? You'd think they would have that.
Yeah.
Or
no,
because
like then the Muggles wouldn't see that.
Or to the into the specifically wizard area. Like,
or what
when you go through like the wall into enter platform 9 3/4. What if there were fire positions in there? They could use.
What if they just operated?
Maybe there are wards on that, but yeah.
Yeah. They hovered between platforms 9 and 10 and casually leaned against the wall when no one was looking. This is my favorite part of every Harry Potter book. Going through the wall. getting onto King's Cross, going on the train.
Then there's this one muggle is leaning against a wall, and he falls through.
And he gets on the train, and he never comes back.
He has no idea what's going on. He gets on the train, not knowing that it was actually full of wizards. He arrives at Hogwarts.
And he never sees the light of day again, folks.
He's become a wizard.
He just is a wizard now.
He's just a wizard.
It doesn't matter if he's a muggle, like, actually.
He's a wizard now.
Like, people felt bad for him on the train, so they just they donated him robes and books. They were like, hey, I happen to have an extra full set.
Look at this adult loser baby. With no robes, no wand, so bad for no him. Magical ability. Disgusting.
Yeah, gross.
We have to help this dirt baby.
Yeah. Lee yelled, nice dog, Harry. Sirius wagged his tail. They spotted Moody with the...
Sirius wagged his tail. Lee said it.
They spotted Moody with the luggage and met with the others who were just arriving. Which, how did they get there? Like, because they weren't all traveling in a pack. They traveled separately. But how did the other group get there? Like, did they apparate and the other people had to walk for 20 minutes? They just went to McDonald's. They were, like, getting food while Mrs. Weasley and Tonks and Harry and Sirius all walked.
Can we go to Wizard Melts? Or wait, what's a good wizard restaurant name?
Like, McDonald's, but what? Go ahead. What? I just had an epiphany.
Merlin's Beard. It's where they sell. It's like an exotic food restaurant where they sell bugs.
I feel like we can come up with a better
for food.
I like Merlin, but I don't know if I like Merlin's Beard. Merlin's Beard! Exclamation mark. Fine exotic bugs.
Straight from Merlin's Beard.
Exactly. Oh my gosh, I get it now. Yes. They're from his beard. I like that. Oh my gosh, that's good. I like that. This episode is brought to you by Merlin's Beard, the exotic bug restaurant.
Sign up for your yearly package for only $255.
A month. For a year.
I said a yearly package.
No, but you have to pay every month for the 1 year.
Okay.
Where are we? Moody commented that he would be reporting Sturgis to Dumbledore for not showing up because he was getting as unreliable as Mundungus. Lupin shook everyone's hands and told Harry to be careful. Moldy told them all to be careful what they write in letters. Tonks said goodbye and hugged Hermione and Ginny. It's like he knows.
Who?
It's like Moody knows that their letters are going to start being intercepted. I wonder how difficult it is to intercept letters. Like, if I see a random owl...
Oh, it's an owl. I'm gonna steal that owl.
Can I be your Accio owl?
And in this first book, it's Hagrid gives one of the owls, like, nuts for its, his payment.
Yeah.
And they never pay owls again after that.
Oh, I didn't think of that.
It's weird.
Yeah.
It's the only time an owl has ever paid for its services. Or, like,
the only way that would make sense. The only way that would make sense is if it's, like, a subscription.
Or they've transferred to an all-digital wizarding currency. So now it's the money is automatically taken from their Wizarding Gringotts account.
Yeah, and perfect. The owner of the owl. The Wizarding World is modernizing.
At a rapid rate.
Exactly. Like,
they're already 200 years ahead of us right now. So in 200 years, we'll be where the Wizarding World is right now.
Yeah. Sirius attempted to hug Harry as a dog, which is strange. He had to, like, lift up onto his back legs and, like, put his paws on Harry's shoulder. But Mrs. Weasley broke that up real quick. She pushes Harry towards the train and tells Sirius to act more like a dog.
Yeah, go roll in the dirt, you dirty little dirt baby.
The kids all boarded the train. Harry asked Hermione and Ron if they wanted to find a compartment, but they told him that they had to go to the prefect carriage. Harry said fine and that he might see them later then. Ron said definitely because he wasn't Percy, so he wasn't enjoying any of it. I feel like Ron actually does enjoy it. Like, he feels so, like, happy. He's like, I'm a prefect, yay. But he has to, for Harry, he's pretending that he doesn't enjoy it.
Do you think the heads of house or, like, anybody at Hogwarts actually monitors what the prefects are doing?
Considering what Draco gets up to, I would say no. But I have no idea. I guess maybe. Yeah. So Ginny went off with Harry to find a compartment where they could save places for Ron and Hermione. They found Neville in the last carriage because, and so he couldn't find a place to sit because everywhere was full. So the three of them found a compartment where a girl Ginny called Loony Lovegood was sitting, and the girl had a wand behind her ear, was wearing a necklace of butterbeer caps, and was reading a magazine upside down. I feel like Luna Lovegood is weirdly weird, if that makes sense. She's overly weird. Like, she's trying too hard to be weird.
You think she's trying to be weird?
Yes. Well, maybe not. I think she's just dumb and doesn't understand what it means to. I don't know.
Maybe she's insane.
Yeah, I think that's very, very likely. Luna stared at Harry as he sat down opposite her and continued to stare at him when Ginny asked if she had a good summer. She also may be socially awkward because she doesn't understand that you shouldn't, stare at someone for that extended of a period of time. Luna said, "You're Harry Potter," and Harry said, "I know I am." Neville laughed, and Luna, aggressively looked at Neville and asked Neville who he was. Neville said he was nobody. Ginny said sharply that he was Neville Longbottom and said that Luna Lovegood was a fourth-year Ravenclaw. Which, the way that Ginny defends Neville, I don't know. I feel like Neville says a lot of things that can be self-deprecating, where he goes, "Oh, I'm nobody." And Ginny comes in and says sharply, "Oh, no, he's Neville Longbottom." So I feel like that kind of lays a foundation for Ginny and Neville's relationship, along with the Yule Ball. Vaughn has been aggressively staring at me since I said that
Luna should... I'm rolling Luna.
Okay, well, I don't like it. Okay. I don't appreciate it. Yeah, so what do you think of Ginny and Neville? What do you think of them getting together?
Jevil.
Ninny.
No.
Nenny?
Nevy.
Nevinny.
No.
Okay. Okay, so we Jill.
Or Jill.
Or Jill. Oh, Jill. Yes, that's good. I like Jill.
They weren't a very good match. I think Neville. There's something else. There's somebody else from Neville, definitely.
Luna?
No.
Because isn't it the end of the movie?
No. Neville's just an introvert. He's not weird.
Do you know in Deathly Hallows Part 2 where Neville's like, "Where's Luna? I have to tell her something."
Wait, what?
He's going to go tell her that he loves her.
What?
Yeah. At the end of Deathly Hallows Part 2, Neville is he says to Harry or Ron or Hermione or something. He's like, "Where's Ginny?" He says, "Where's Luna?" And they're like, "Oh, I don't know." He's like, I'm going to go find her. Because he has to go tell her that he loves her.
That wasn't part of it.
I'm telling
Look
you.
Look it up.
No. I will look it up later.
No, look it up now.
Hold on. Okay, fine. Did Neville love Luna? It says Neville. Wait. Okay, so in the books, Neville and Luna were never a thing, but in the movies, Neville confesses that he likes her. Luna, yeah, I'm mad for her. Figure now is a good time as ever to tell her since I'll probably be dead by morning. Yeah.
When is that said?
In the movie.
When?
He says they'll probably both be dead by dawn. Let me see if there's a YouTube video. Okay, no, there's no, YouTube video. But I'm telling you, he says this. He goes, "I'm going to go tell her that I love her. Because we're probably going to both be dead by morning." Yes, I'm not kidding.
I don't remember this.
You know what, Vaughn? Just because you don't remember doesn't mean it's not true. How about here's the solution, Vaughn, that you need to go rewatch Deathly Hallows Part 2. It's a very good movie.
Here's another solution. I don't.
And then you just never believe me. And you realize, and then one day your kids will watch it, and then you'll realize, hey, my sister was right.
No, I just won't watch the movie ever again.
Ever again. Okay. Luna read her magazine, and Neville showed Ginny and Harry the plant that he had gotten for his birthday. It was a Mimbulus mimbletonia. He said it was very rare and that he couldn't wait to show it to Professor Sprout. I love how excited he is about herbology. He's not good at anything except for herbology.
Professor Sprout, I got this Mimbulus mimbletonia. Oh, I have two of those. I have three of those in the back.
No, Professor, he says that Professor Sprout doesn't have one.
He does?
It's so rare that She doesn't. Yeah. Neville showed them the plant's defense mechanism, which sprayed green liquid all over the compartment. He, like, pricked the plant and just went everywhere. Harry received a faceful.
Way to kill the mood, Neville.
Harry received a faceful of it. The compartment door slid open, and a nervous voice said hello to Harry and asked if it was a bad time. Harry wiped his glasses off and saw that it was Cho Chang, which Neville ruined this for him. Harry said hi, and she said that she just wanted to say hello, slid the compartment door shut, and left. Ginny said, Scorgify, which removed all of the stink stuff. Yeah, so Cho is making an appearance. I don't know that... It feels kind of awkward to just open a compartment door and be like, hi. And they're like, hi. And you're like, okay, well, that was it. Bye.
I don't want to talk to you right now.
Exactly.
Kind of covered in this liquid.
Yeah, like, it just seems weird. Like, maybe you would walk past the door and wave. Maybe not open it, go hi, and then walk away. Because you had no other purpose for being there. Ron and Hermione turned up an hour later in the compartment. They sat and told them who the other Prefects were, Pansy and Draco for Slytherin, Ernie Macmillan and Hannah Abbott for Hufflepuff, and Anthony Goldstein and Padma Patel for Ravenclaw. Luna looked at Ron and said that he went to the Yule Ball with Padma. Ron said he knows he did. Luna said that Padma didn't enjoy it because he wouldn't dance with her. Ron explained that they went, as Prefects, they got to give out punishments, and that he couldn't wait to get Crabbe and Goyle for something. He imitated Goyle writing, I must not look like a baboon's backside.
Luna burst out laughing as everyone else laughed at Ron's confused expression.
I'm so confused with what's happening in this scene. Like, Luna is just absolutely
she
weird.
Freaks out.
Oh, like she's freaking out laughing. Like she is going wild.
Yes.
Okay.
Harry looked down at Luna's newspaper with a cartoon of Fudge that read, How far will Fudge go to gain Gringotts?
Which I don't think he's interested in doing.
I don't think he is. He asked Luna for the newspaper and she handed it to him. He scanned through articles and came across one written by a woman who claimed that Sirius Black was a fake name made by Stevie Boardman, the lead singer of the Hobgoblins. and he in fact had not killed all those people.
Okay, well, you know what? Let's go back to the dog walking down the street thing. Someone recognized him. They go, that looks like the lead frontman of
Stevie Boardman. Dude, you gotta get my autograph. I gotta get your autograph.
Stevie Boardman. No way. That's funny.
He read one detailing how, he read another article detailing how Fudge wanted to seize control of Gringotts. Harry stopped reading, and Ron asked if there were any good articles. Hermione said that of course there weren't, because the Quibbler was, quote-unquote, rubbish.
That was not gonna...
It's not quote
That was not gonna go over rubbish. Well. Yeah.
Luna snapped that her father was the editor and took the newspaper from Harry.
From hair.
Hair.
Took it right from hair.
Draco opened the compartment door and began bragging to Hair about being a prefect. Hermione told Draco to shut up Hermione told Draco to shut up and left after giving Harry a dirty look.
Why is Draco so, like, weird? He just comes in. He's like, hey, I'm a prefect and you're not. And then someone gives him a dirty look and he walks out. Like, it's just the weirdest dynamic that Draco has with these kids.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
As the train slowed down, Ron and Hermione left to supervise the unpacking and dressing process. But Harry left the train with his luggage but didn't see Hagrid. Instead, there was Professor Grubbly Plank directing students.
I love Professor Grubbly Plank. She seems like a good professor. Why?
She's not as cool as Hagrid.
She's cooler. She, like, knows what she's doing, though. Would you rather have Professor Grubbly Plank or the centaurs?
I'd rather have the centaurs.
Wow. That's
They have upsetting. Better knowledge of the creatures.
No. All they do is look up at the... Wait.
They live in the woods, Daisy.
I just realized that the centaurs teach astronomy or something.
Yeah,
they teach.
But still, they would still be good teachers.
No. Well, maybe.
He walked to the horseless stagecoaches that took the students to Hogwarts. This time, they were creatures pulling the coaches.
Ooh.
They were reptilian horses with extremely bony black coats and black wings, and they pulled the coaches. Ron and Hermione met back with Harry. Hermione had been dealing with Malfoy, who was bullying first years. Do not look at my spelling. Harry asked Ron what the creatures were. Harry pointed out the creatures to the stagecoaches, and asked Ron what they were, but Ron didn't know, like, didn't see them.
Yeah.
And so Harry eventually realized this because he put Ron straight in front of it. What he should have had Ron do was, like, have him touch it.
Yeah. I mean,
Ron would have freaked out.
Because you can touch them.
Luna told Harry that she could see them, too. So he was just as sane as her. I can't tell if that's a good or bad thing. Because Luna
You're just as sane as I am. Like,
he's not entirely sane.
I like that line, though. It's really good in the movie. She's like, you're just as sane as I am.
Last sentence. Smiling faintly, she climbed into the musty interior of the carriage after Ron. Not altogether reassured, Harry followed her.
Okay, so we have one movie gift today, which is... We haven't had movie gifts in so long, so you can read that one.
At around 30 minutes, when Harry, Hermione, Ron, and Neville are in the carriage with Luna, her hair is curly. Yet in the next scene, what would be shortly after, her hair is completely straight. Maybe it's just magic like that.
You know, yeah, that's just how magic do, you know? So we're gonna be right back with our original characters analysis.
I love magic.
So we don't have any Hogsmeade Journal news today, but we do have our original characters analysis. So for the 25th anniversary of the publication of Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, J.K. Rowling made her original manuscripts, journals, and drafts of the first book available to the public. So here are some of these sound a little bit absurd. So if they're not true, don't try not to blame us, but if they are true... That is the most amazing part.
They're not. No, they are. At Voldemort.
This is from the.
This is not true. That is not true.
I didn't make them up.
This is fake. Okay. Somebody fake this online.
This is from the New York Times.
Really?
Yes.
I'm sure it is.
I'm sure it is.
And I'm sure the New York Times is 100% credible.
Yeah, especially in the humor section.
You were in the humor section.
That's what this article was.
This is like from one of those fake news articles.
It's fine. It's fine. Like, we're just gonna do it
or something.
Because even if it's not true, it doesn't matter. It could totally be true. Because it's not real.
Tommy Quattlebaum, Voldemort, and Grapefruit Linda. They sure are my favorite trio.
Tommy Quattlebaum. So Tommy Quattlebaum was the owner of a bargain wand emporium who would sweat uncontrollably as he refused to explain to customers why there were never any wands in stock. In an alternate storyline of the Goblet of Fire, Quattlebaum is found strangled in the basement of his store, which is secretly a storage hub for the international black market. Okay, here's the thing, Vaughn. Here is something interesting about Mr. Tommy Quattlebaum. So when people were shopping in his store, he would pass them notes. And the notes would say something like, I am a good person.
No, come on.
Yes. So what do you think of Mr. Tommy Quattlebaum?
He's a pretty sick dude.
What would you give to his character? Like, what attributes would you give to his character if you were going to keep him in the story?
He'd be very arrogant. He'd snap quickly at an insult. He'd be one not opposed to murder.
He would not be opposed to murder. So you think maybe in the story he could have killed someone at some point?
Yeah, it's the international black market.
True.
Do you know how much?
Do you know how much money is in that industry, Vaughn?
Do you know how much organs are worth?
Yes, I do. They're worth a lot.
Yes.
So what do you think?
500,000 for hearts.
Here's the real question. What are wizards selling on the black market? What is on the wizarding black market?
Okay, first of all, you got the organs.
Wizarding black market. Special organ. To wizarding.
It's still organs.
Special to wizarding.
Well, I mean, it's going to work for both. Organs, wands.
What kind of wands?
Illicit wands.
You can get wands everywhere.
Illicit spell books.
Wands for muggles.
Magic items.
Potions.
More organs.
Potions that make you... Potions that...
No, it's plot twist. Wizards actually have a special organ that makes them wizarding.
Oh.
But squibs, they're just born without that organ.
Oh.
So they harvest that organ and sell it to muggles.
Gotcha. For how much money? How much money are we talking here, Vaughn?
500,000 to 3 mil.
To 3 mil. Jeez. Okay, so the top one has gone for $10 million. That is... That came from Merlin. That went to a squid named
Josephine McSmallson.
Yeah. Yes. Perfect. And Tommy Quattlebaum, what Hogwarts house would you put this man into?
He seems like he'd be a Hufflepuff.
I was thinking a Ravenclaw. Because a Hufflepuff would not run an international black market scam.
He's actually a pretty sweet guy if you get to know him.
Oh, okay. Okay, so that fixes things. Like, he's a
but
sweet
he's
guy.
Not particularly. He's not particularly ambitious, he reminds brave, me, or smart.
He reminds me a little bit of Jacob.
The name? Like, what? How does
just
he
everything.
Me of
just Jacob? Everything. You know, when I think of the this black guy, market. I think of Jacob. Because, like, Jacob is totally selling his sweets on the black market. Because, like, if you put, like, I don't know, what's, like, a wizarding drug on, like, a wizard?
Dragon's blood. Pixie dust.
If you put pixie dust in those cakes.
Oh, that's tough.
That is some good stuff. So, Jacob is totally selling that stuff on the black market. Like, let's be real with ourselves. Is there anything else that you would say about Tommy Quattle? Any other attributes you would give Tommy Quattlebaum? I just think he's a stand-up guy, you know?
He's been arrested multiple times for squatting.
For squatting? In what, his own store?
No. In other people's abandoned houses.
Okay.
Mainly the shrieking chef. He's the one that's been shrieking.
Oh, gotcha.
But he was the one that did the shrieking after Lupin.
He had to keep up, like,
the tradition.
The tradition. Like, he had to keep it going. And the only way to do that was to start living there. And periodically scream in the middle of the night. So the next one we have on our list is Voldemort. So Voldemort is a wizard known casually as Mark, who lived in a van in Austin, Texas. He tortured wizards and muggles by forcing them to listen to seminars that promoted blockchain technology.
What is blockchain
technology?
I don't know.
Look it up. Okay. Because I legitimately have no idea what blockchain technology is. Okay. It appears to be a real thing. It's a shared immutable ledger that facilitates the process of recording transactions and tracking assets in a business
network.
I get it. Explain.
So essentially it's just like an online controlled way of storing and selling and transacting assets, products, bills, and like just having a business online.
Generally. Oh, okay. If anyone escaped from him alive, it was after unwittingly investing in a crypto scam. Rowling realized that Mark was too unlikable and that she couldn't stand writing him with his Sanskrit tattoos. So what do you think of Voldemort?
Come on.
Voldemort. It's such a, what a name.
It should have been Voldetom.
No, I like Voldemort, because it's like Voldemort, but it's Voldemort. Because his name is Mark, so it's like a good play on words, you know?
Voldemort.
What house do we think Voldemort was in?
Voldemort.
I think Gryffindor.
He sounds like a Gryffindor.
Yeah, I think so too.
He's giving me some heavy Gryffindor vibes.
So it sounds, from what
we actually Ravenclaw. He did a really good job at not tricking people into investing in a crypto scam.
Oh, that's true. Now, how would he get them to invest in a crypto scam? Was it like, you're going to have to sit through a million blockchain technology seminars unless you invest in crypto?
He invested $200,000 into creating a fake TED-Ed video and then convinced people.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, TED-Ed is very good at convincing.
It
so
is
I
very
can
good
see
at
how
convincing.
I can see how that would work. He actually ran a TED Talk and people were then convinced. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. I'm Voldemort.
I'm here to talk to you about tricking you into a crypto scam. Oh, sorry, I'm selling you some completely legitimate online currency.
Yeah. Very. It's non-fungible, but it is fungible. So, that's just
some non-fungible tokens.
Some NFTs. Voldemort is going to build his own NFT empire. It's coming.
And then I'm going to buy the non-fungible planet.
Yep. And I'm going to buy the non-fungible source of energy, the sun. Grapefruit Linda. So in the original story, Harry, Ron, and Hermione had a fourth member of their group, a Belgian transfer student named Grapefruit Linda.
Stop, do not.
The group ran an illegal gambling ring behind Honeydukes Sweet Shop, where students would bet on whether Linda could wrap her entire mouth around a grapefruit.
No.
She would always fail and then fall asleep for hours. Linda was scrapped because she took away too much from the main storyline. Ron's original catchphrase was, "Linda is going to absolutely ruin our lives."
I hate Grapefruit Linda. She sucks.
Grapefruit Linda wasn't actually in a house. She actually was just on the weekend. No, she would head on the weekends. She would go from Belgium.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, well, let's just say she was in Hogwarts. What house would she be in? Ravenclaw.
She sounds like a Ravenclaw.
Yeah, I think so too. So what do we think of all this crime that we're experiencing so far? I mean, everything has had to do with crime.
Illegal gambling ring.
I mean, did they invest? I love that
term. Illegal gambling ring.
The group ran, the dynamic trio ran an illegal gambling ring.
Like, the four of them would, like, hide out behind the Hogsmeade, and they would all, like, wear, you know, like, blue robes or something. Yeah, tuxes. Actually, yes, tuxes is better. And then they would, Grapefruit Linda would
they had a deal with middle. They had a deal with the Honeydukes shop owner. They actually have in their basement.
Yeah.
They have moonshine operation.
Yeah. Oh, gotcha.
And down there,
moonshine.
Too.
Okay. So what they would actually do is they would have a literal ring. So Harry, Ron, and Hermione would form a circle, and then whoever wanted to see Grapefruit Linda attempt, you know, her trick, they would pay Ron and Hermione, and they would continue to form the circle around Grapefruit Linda until they had a complete circle formed, which is like,
which is like 10 people.
So then Grapefruit Linda would squat in the middle of the circle and try to fit her mouth around the grapefruit. And if she didn't, they would all like pack in and just kind of like,
what?
Go like that to Linda.
What do you stand?
Like, take her down?
And, why? You know,
and then
why?
Because they paid and she didn't do it.
Why is this?
And then that's why she would sleep for hours.
This doesn't make any sense.
Okay, fine. You tell us. You tell me your version of it.
They held, okay, seven Honeydukes.
Okay.
You know how they have that secret passageway?
Yes.
So students from Hogwarts would use that secret passageway on, like, free days.
Okay.
And then what they did was they had some, quote-unquote, legitimately working people. Make rooms in the secret passageway.
Okay.
Where they had their moonshine operation, they had the gambling ring, then they had a casino room.
Ooh.
It's still there to this day.
Okay, I will be sure to go check that out. I love Linda. Linda's going to absolutely ruin our lives. I like that catchphrase. So the next group is the Piffins, and we don't really know that much about them, but Jiff and Clara Piffin were middle-aged wood nymphs who lived deep in the Forbidden Forest. The last thing drafted about the Piffins was that they tried to save their marriage with a ziplining getaway. I don't even really know what to say about these guys.
I don't understand what is happening.
Me neither. This was the one that made me question if the legitimate...
It's like a Romeo and Juliet situation. They're wood nymphs from two different families.
Kind of.
They're the Blights and the Nymphs. Their families forbid it, but then they found each other and they were like, we're gonna marry. But then the families confronted them and it was like, no, we'll kill you. So they tried to zipline away, but the zipline snapped and they fell into the river and drowned.
So we can actually modify the prologue of Romeo and Juliet to fit this story. So
no.
Households, both alike in dignity, and fair Hogwarts, where we lay, and fair Forbidden Forest, where we lay our scene. From ancient grudge breaks to new mutiny, where civil blood makes civil hands unclean.
Well, makes civil branches.
Yes.
Dirty.
Makes civil, yes. Yeah. From forth, the fatal loins. The fatal pollen, yes, of these two trees. A pair of star-crossed nymphs take their life, whose misadventured piteous overthrows, how should we change that,
we don't need to,
whose consistent arguing doth with their death bury their parents' strife, doth with their death bury their parents' seeds. Yes. The fearful passage of their death marked love and the continuance of their tree's rage, but with their children's end naught could remove. That was very
is not. Oh, okay, yeah, next.
Moving on to something more interesting than the Piffins. So this is the one that isn't a character. So every character duplicated and backwards. Rowling planned to give every character a dark twin that would perform the entire story in reverse.
Stop. This is not.
This is true.
So the entire
the idea,
so in the
listen,
first,
no, in the first the book. Idea was abandoned after the first chapter where Harry is delivered to his aunt's doorstep, while also running and screaming backwards through a demolished Hogwarts that is rebuilding itself.
It's not working.
So he is going through the Battle of Hogwarts as he is also being
dropped off at his parents' doorstep.
Everything has a start, and it all starts in Goblet of Fire, in like the middle. And then it all spreads out from there. The rest of his life, that is the tree.
No.
And then everything else.
This is not good.
This is the most confusing thing ever.
Friend George, what if one just stayed at the start and the other went to the end? They got a special.
That would be really scary. I don't want to believe that would just the way that
so whenever they turned to look at each other, one was just looking at empty space.
But, or like when one
oh
of them
my
was
gosh,
caught,
but
or,
no one knew. Just,
yeah.
But no one knew. So they were in it, like they were in the plot together. They were the only ones that knew about the plot. Okay, so the last one is actually a character, and I'm very excited about this. So David Blaine. Until the very last draft, Albus Dumbledore was a street magician named David Blaine.
Oh.
Blaine would walk around Hogwarts with a black muscle t-shirt on. Let me just tell you, a muscle t-shirt,
I know what a muscle t-shirt
is like, we're talking about like a muscle tank top, right? The ones that have like a low neck and then like really low armpit.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're
to
very,
like be like, ooh, I'm a strong guy.
Very,
don't mess with
they're
me.
They're very ugly. I don't know why people wear them. Yeah, but Blaine would walk around Hogwarts with a black muscle t-shirt on while performing card tricks for students or eating glass. Because why not eat glass if you're David
my favorite Blaine? Snack.
J.K. Rowling most regrets losing the storyline that David Blaine became addicted to his pensive and would use it for 10 hours a day.
You know what would be cooler? What? If he just drank the pensive water and he was addicted to that.
How
he was
would
addicted
that work?
To eating memories.
How would that?
So like when he drank it, he would relive the memories in his head while retaining consciousness.
How would that even work?
So, like, he'd just be going about his day, and if he drank some pensive water, like, from his flask, he just could experience the memories while going about his day.
Like, he's just eating, like, he kind of turns off. Like, he's still
like,
functioning.
There's, like, a pot, yeah, but there's, like, a pocket in his brain that's playing the memory.
Like, he's still on, but he's more focused on the
he's
memory.
He's, like, in two places at once.
Which is, yeah, which is very difficult to do, in my experience of being in two places at once. But, yeah, so that, how legit do you think this seems?
Not legit at all.
What Hogwarts house would David Blaine be in?
David Blaine?
He would be in Gryffindor.
No, David Blaine wouldn't be in a Hogwarts house. He'd burn Hogwarts to the ground doing a trick.
You think so?
He'd create the world's largest firework and light it off. And
you know what?
Explode Hogwarts.
Would you see it from America? Would you be able to
America.
See it from America?
Wait, what?
Would the explosion be so big that you could see it from America?
I mean, the firework would be American-made. David Blaine seems like a pretty American guy.
Doesn't he? He just seems like... Yeah. Doesn't he? Yeah, so...
In fact, it's actually a kilogram of uranium-236. And with his extremely buff muscles and magician tricks, he compressed it in a way that created a nuclear fission.
Okay. So, we've learned some very interesting characters. My favorite is probably Tom. Wait, what is this first one? Tommy Quaddlebottom.
My
or
favorite is
Grapefruit
Voldemort.
Linda. Grapefruit Linda is just such an interesting girl.
She is very interesting.
I don't really understand it, but yeah. So, you don't think this is legit?
Of course not.
I do. But
really?
If it's not, then this was fun anyway. Next week, we're probably going to do a summer Harry Potter activity analysis. I was gonna do it this week, but then I stumbled across this article and I was like, this is too good to pass up.
Come on.
We should, so yeah, we're probably gonna do that next week. Yeah, you can email us at insidehogwartspod@gmail.com to let us know all of your thoughts on today's episode and let us know who your favorite original character is. You can check out our website insidehogwarts.com, which I still have not updated, but I'm going to. And you can leave us a quick review and rating on Apple Podcasts. We would really appreciate it.
We should create our own original characters.
That would be a fun analysis. Yes. Okay, let's do that. That may be our next analysis. Probably not, because we will not have time to plan that.
Yeah.
Because we'll be in Utah. But eventually, we're going to pocket that idea and use it. Okay, and then, yeah, I think that's it. So have a good week. We will see you guys next Tuesday. And bye.
Bye.
Listening, be sure to check back every Tuesday for another episode of Inside Hogwarts.